Well, Jake, the baseball season has started. It's officially baseball season, and you know, I know, and you know, nothing goes better with baseball than ice cold beer, isn't that right, Jake?
That's true. One thing that could go better than ice cold beer is ice cold beer with lime.
Now you're talking. You're making some sense. You know, you're making some sense. You know, and luckily,
I've heard that beer promos are a big thing in baseball these days.
People love beer and beer promos, and they love beer with lime. And if you're one of those people, we got good news for you. Left Field Brewery is the place to get beer with lime. It's the place to get ice cold beer. And it's the place to let them know that you listen to us and you're nice to us and we're nice to them. And we have a promo running with them that we are really excited about. If you order $55 or more at the old Left Field Brewery bottle shop, which is fanshop.leftfieldbrewery.ca, and put in the promo code less than J's, all caps, you get yourself a free can koozie while supplies last. That runs until supplies last, so there could be a whole bunch of supplies, and it lets them know that you listen to our podcast and that you're fans of ours because we're fans of theirs because they're fans of ours. That makes sense. That makes sense, Jake?
I think it does.
You can go down to the bottle shop. It is in Toronto, and it's great. You've been to the bottle shop, haven't you?
I have.
The tap room, pardon me?
I've spent several nights and days in the tap room. Lots of good beer, good people, good dogs. Yeah, it's nothing better than sitting in a tap room, drinking a nice ice-cold beer, watching baseball, and petting a dog.
So I don't need to tell you that it's 36 Wagstaff Drive in Leslieville in Toronto, open Sunday to Thursday, 11 to 9, Friday to Saturday, 11 to 11. You can also look out for first pitch events happening at bars and restaurants across Ontario for the first 2 weeks of the season. Hey, that's right now. Ice cold beer specials. Find one near you. Find ice cold beer at the brewery, the LCBO, grocery stores, beer stores, and home delivery through that fan shop. As I said, fanshop.leftfieldbrewery.ca. There's also, as you said, ice cold lime. It's brand new. It's that same ice cold beer that you love, with a hint of lime. You can find those mixed six packs at LCBOs and 2-4s at the brewery at 36 Wagstaff. Once again, fanshop.leftfieldbrewery.ca. Throw in promo code less than J's, all one word, in all caps. Get yourself a free can koozie. Keep your ice cold beer ice cold all season long with Left Field Brewery and less than J's. Boy, Jake, yes, indeed, the season has begun. It is time to talk about real baseball. It is
real baseball,
as real as it gets, I suppose. Baseball games being played. They were two series down. They've been just like you, I would say. The Blue Jays, fresh off a trip to the Midwest, USA.
Nice tie-in to my personal life.
We'll throw that down in the middle of this show in the Patreon exclusive personal life off-topic segment with the theme song everybody loves to hear. Off topic, but yeah, the Blue Jays played the Cardinals and the Royals. There was just enough. There's been just enough of both sides. There's been just enough bad stuff to get people to freak out 4 games into the season, and just enough good stuff to have your arms folded in front of you, contentedly nodding. Lots to get into, lots to talk about, lots to enjoy. How are you feeling? 2 series into the Blue Jays season, never too early to feel one way or the other. What are they? 3-4.
4-3, I believe.
There you go.
I would definitely prefer that at least one of those losses was a win. but on the whole, I'm feeling okay. I think there's lots of good stuff that's happened through the first week, and quite a bit of not so good stuff as well. I feel like for better or for worse, I feel like all of when we were doing our best case, worst cases, and our one statement on every player segments, I feel like all of the hopes and all of the worries have all sort of come true, for better or for worse. Like, Vlad's been awesome. Bo's been pretty good, outside of a little bit of defensive jitteriness in the first weekend. Varsho's been awesome. Kiermaier's been great. And then there's the other side. And, you know, the Barrioses, the Bassetts, the Trevor Richards, the Brandon Belts. And so I feel like it's been kind of an interesting first week, as there's definitely been no shortage of narratives.
Yeah, it's a good week for confirmation bias. That's for damn sure. Yeah, lots to dig into there. We're also going to talk about the Renault reveals, as all your media, all your favorite media were at the Rogers Center this week. Today you'd be exact, giving pictures. I'm not jealous. We're not jealous. I'm not jealous. Who said I was jealous? We're not jealous. I'm not jealous. They didn't ask me to go. That's fine. I live there.
Invite less than Jays to your corporate media events, Rogers.
That's fine. I'm not allowed in the building. That's fine. That's no big deal. Last time I had a season pass, it says, don't let this guy in the clubhouse in big, bold letters. That's fine. I don't give a shit. You know, that's fine.
Hey, we'll be in the building sooner or later, and there's nothing they can do about that.
Well, there's, yeah.
Because capitalism.
There's nothing they will do about it, more accurately.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Technically, they could if they wanted to. But, you know, it looks cool. It looks great, and there's lots to be excited about, and we'll get into that as well. As you said, all the pluses and minuses. I will start, I think... We'll do biggest plus, biggest minus off the bat. And I think the easiest biggest plus for me is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. looks fucking incredible right now. The number one signifier, if I could pick one thing for Vlad to start doing that makes me feel like he is due for an incredible year, it's the patience at the plate. Drawing walks, not getting suckered into that kind of at bats that he got suckered into last year, where when he was not getting his pitches, he would chase, he would expand the zone, he would swing at bad pitches, he would put bad pitches in play, he would hit the ball on the ground because he was swinging at bad pitches. He is waiting for it to come to him, and he is letting it eat when it gets to him. Another home run today, wicked Oppo home run the other day. Man, he's locked in right now, and it is so sweet to see. That ever make everything look better and easier all the time when Vlad is locked in like this.
Yeah, and I think... You know, we were sort of joking about it in the spring talk, but like the fact that his outs are in the air, and that's happened. Like, he's had a couple, especially it seems like everyone did in KC this week, have a few long flyouts that maybe in some other parks leave the park. Even when he's hitting on the ground, all of his contact is like crazy hard. He's at like he had like a 115. Mile an hour ground out the other day, which is encouraging, you know, and it's a good, seems to be having a good mix of balls in the air, and a lot of the ground balls seem to be getting through the infield, which is a nice change. His home run today was just an absolute bomb. It was nice seeing his sort of attitude bat flip mm-hmm. on the home run today, because I feel like that Vlad's the kind of guy who, yeah, not that he's not an excitable guy, but he doesn't really, push that sort of attitude unless he's really feeling it. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to see. He has more home runs than strikeouts so far. How can you possibly feel bad about that?
That's pretty sick. The bat drop today. You would almost
maybe, sort of yeah.
leaving it behind. Yeah. Like, in general, in the team, and we could talk about this sort of in a more specific way, but just in general, I've been really enamored with the offensive approach, basically 1 through 9, I think. Talk about the difference you want to see, it's what they're doing. Patience, good at-bats, opposite field. Like, they're hitting the ball the opposite field first and working their way around. It's not nearly as much a swing, have to pull everything. Everything has to be, you're hitting it as far and hard as you possibly can. I think there's been some great approaches, and it's been like, if you were looking to do some of that confirmation bias about like what's different about them this year and last year, it would be that. Of course, the pitching is sort of going to have to hold up their end of the bargain with that, but I've just been really, really happy with what I've seen from the offense, even if it isn't going to be, you know, they scored 6 runs today, and they scored a bunch earlier. They put up 10 on Thursday against the Cardinals in the season opener. It doesn't have to be that. It can be the fours and fives and the threes. It's just the way they're going about their at-bats and the way they're getting hits and the way they're being patient and sort of trusting that they have the overall talent to get things done. It's a really good sign for me.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's obviously not frustrating, so I agree with you. It's great. But like, it's kind of funny how after an offseason of talking about changing the culture and getting to the fundamentals and all that crap and being and kind of rolling your eyes at it for 5 months, then you see it in practice and you're like, oh, actually, this is sick.
It is super fun to watch them. Like the,
and like, I know these aren't exactly advanced statistics, and I know there's been some hand-wringing about offensive punch, home runs, number of runs, etc. But they are second in the majors in team batting average. Again, 7 games in, but worth noting, they're 5th in OBP. And then, hilariously, they're 15th in slugging.
Amazing.
But, you know, 2 of 3 ain't bad.
Home runs are going to come. Runs are going to come, yeah.
Especially once they get to their home park, which is notoriously a hitter-friendly park. But yeah, I agree with you. I think watching some of the, like watching competent base running after the last few years is quite nice. Kevin Kiermaier is a psychopath and I'm fully bought into him now, which is not where I thought I'd be 7 games into the season, but
it's about where I thought you'd be, if that helps.
Fair enough. I think we're both pretty deep into the keg of Dalton Varsho Kool-Aid.
Listen, yeah, you know what's funny is a guy that I ended up, I don't know if it was Stockholm Syndrome or I just like my, I'm a softy and over time grow to love the people that I'm comfortable with and grew up with. You know, Pat Tadler took a lot of flack when he was a color guy here. But it is impossible to talk about Dalton Varsho without being like, the guy's just a ball player. Like, it's I don't know how else.
He held runs. He's bunted for a hit. He runs the bases well. He fields well.
Oh, it's built. He's built in a lab for me. Yeah, I can't. And he's a third string catcher. And he's like, you look at him and you're like, that's an athletic guy. And then you're like, oh, he's from Wisconsin. And it's like, oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I said on Twitter, he looks like Ethan Embry in Empire Records.
For the record, that's a compliment, yes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Not even anything. It's just an observation. He just looks like he looks like just a guy.
Yeah, he's just a ball player.
He's just a guy. But man, he's really awesome.
Showing his mettle, playing left field and center field, and as you said, getting him on the base paths is a delight, and getting him, the throw from left field to the plate the other game, just a little, you talk about little things, and I feel like how 2 years ago the word we beat into the ground was vibes. Remember we beat the word vibes into the ground. By the end of the year we were like, I don't even want to say it anymore. This year, I think the word that I am in danger of beating into the ground is little things. I feel like I feel like every game I'm like, oh, little things. The on the Varsho throw, like the little route he takes, it's almost nothing, but like he takes just a slightestly curved route, so he is 100% momentum towards the plate when he catches it, and it's such a small thing. But have seen, without pointing fingers and naming names, so many, how do I say this, left fielders on the team in the last couple of years that would take a terrible route to that ball and then catch it running into foul ground and then hope that the arm strength would save them, to have a guy that has everything moving in the right direction before he makes the catch so that the throw doesn't have to be next level godly and gets a guy at the plate. It just makes my heart absolutely sing. And, I know he would be my dad's favorite player. I know he would. If my dad was around, like, there's no, I wouldn't even have to debate it. Yeah. Anything else really, really nice, really good. You're sort of feeling very good about.
You sort of touched on it, and just like the general, outfield defense is nice. Like I was having a conversation with our friend Matt the other day, and Matt's sort of been on this train, which I actually don't disagree with at all. That it's sort of frustrating, especially during the offseason, that the main thing the Blue Jays focused on improving and spending money was something that's not really quantifiable.
Sure.
Being of you. And I think that's a totally fair point. But I said to him, and he agreed, that having that off outfield defense is awesome. And just the sort of confidence that, to your, as you're saying with Varsho and the route he takes to the ball, the confidence that when it's Springer and Kiermaier and Varsho, and, you know, Biggio's been fine as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's that fear of like, oh God, are they going to boot it kind of thing. It was sort of what we were joking about last year when Jackie Bradley Jr. came in and just like, oh, a competent defensive outfielder. And now the whole outfield is built out of Jackie Bradley Jr.'s, it feels, which is nice. And it's just sort of, well, yes, I agree that like there's other things they perhaps should have focused on, which we will get to in a few, I'm sure. But it's definitely a nice to have. And it's, I feel like watching Kiermaier and watching Varsho in the outfield and Springer in right, actually, instead of center, it's sort of like that old joke, old adage that like Kevin Pillar made awesome catches because he was always out of position. And like Varsho and Kiermaier and Springer are just like, they'll make great catches, but it's kind of like, oh, that ball looks like it's over their head, but oh no, it's pretty routine.
Right, like if they make a great catch, it's a great catch.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I don't know, it felt very, it's exactly what we talk about with Matt Chapman, who we can also talk about, but how like when there's a ball to the left side of the infield, you're like, all right, that's fine. And now it feels like that's the case pretty much anywhere in the outfield, and that is a lovely thing to see.
So the other, I agree, you hinted at it, the other absolute must mention right now is Matt Chapman. Only six games, of course. Only seven games, pardon me. But like, woo-wee. Dude is like absolutely out of his mind to start this season. And makes me really happy because I think last year getting traded in basically in spring, beginning having almost no time to adjust to the team, not maybe not being totally over the injury that had slowed him down, the hip injury, and then sort of heating up in the middle of last year. Great to see him coming out and having a really, really, really strong start to the season. And man, does him starting off that second layer of the lineup ever change the game when he is hitting like this? Holy smokes. What a weapon. Crazy.
I feel like if there's a lesson the Blue Jays can learn from Matt Chapman and from Marcus Semien before, it's that we should only have infielders who are up for free agency the next season, because getting paid seems to be a good motivator for these guys. So I'm sure Matt Chapman won't take it, but maybe we should just keep offering him like 1 year, $20 million deals over and over again to keep him on that free agency motivation. Not unlike some pitchers we'll talk about in a bit, but yeah, I mean, like Chapman had one error in the weekend, which was weird just because he never does, but the fact that he had one and it was notable is pretty much all you need to know about his defense.
It was costly. That's the problem.
It was costly. But then, yeah, I mean, like what else can you say about his offense? He's on fire. He's mashing and he's still playing his well above average third base defense. And he's going to get paid in the offseason is what's going to happen to Matt Chapman.
So, I mean, listen, we speak in these broad sweeping terms, you know, drilled down to speaking very plainly. They played a good team and they played a bad team, right? And
yes.
They dominated the bad team and played, you know, you can't make a mistake against the good team. And they made one too many mistakes against St. Louis to drop that series. So, yeah, I think things on that end are sort of, everything has been deserved. Like the 4-3 record has sort of been deserved. They've beat the teams they should beat and played tight against the teams they should have played tight against. You alluded to, and I think it's pretty obvious as to what the not so exciting things may be. And listen, we're talking about three innings of work for Chris Bassitt. We talked about one blow up from Manoah that he immediately rectified by going seven strong. But we have the Berríos. Is it Berríos or Bassitt right now? Because which one of those is made you feel worse?
I think Berríos.
Okay.
Because I think with Bassitt, you know, I mean, I guess I'll see tomorrow. But exactly what you said. Like Manoah didn't have a great opening day and bounced back immediately. If Bassett's awesome tomorrow, then like it's fine. Rio says a lot more deep-seated problems, I think.
I have, yeah, I think that's valid. I think it's depending on like how you're watching it and what you're seeing, right? Because Barrios, the mind blowing stat from last year was like he had the same amount of quality starts as Gausman did. It's just when he was bad, he was so bad that it was like unwatchable. Yeah. And even in his start, right, it was like one deplorably bad inning, two good innings, one really bad inning, and then it's like, oh, he's in the fifth and he's been giving up 8 runs somehow. Bassett, boy, he looks really, really bad.
He just got rocked. Absolutely rocked.
I tell you, you become a dad, you start pushing 40, you become the patriarch of your family, and you start to just like inherit opinions that you didn't intend to ever have. Jake, I'm afraid I might be, and this is scary, I might be a I don't like pitchers calling their own game guy.
I think that's fair.
I don't like that for me.
Unless it's Shohei, in which case it's fine.
Sure, sure. Chris Bassett, he throws 8 pitches. He can throw anything at any time. It's like he is really throwing BP out there.
Hey, 9. You have to tell me. I was not sold on this from the get-go.
9 runs, 4 homers, 10 hits, and 3 1/3. To your point, he's one good start away against the Angels in his second start on the team. We're overreacting to a small sample size, but, you know, we could also do it for Kikuchi and say, well, you know. But not throwing hard, not throwing accurately. Again, calling his own game. It was like, he's got to call his own game. He throws so many pitches. And I was like, eesh. I don't love that.
I think the reason that I'm more bothered, I guess, for lack of a better word, with Barrios is... actually, I guess this applies to Bassett too, but it's just not deep enough into the issue yet for me to have this concern. But we could get there pretty quickly. I just don't know what we do,
right,
about with Barrios. Like, you can't trade him.
Nope.
Because no one's taking that contract. You kind of want someone to, like, someone in the medical team just be like, oh, yeah, he's strained his knee, got to send him down to Buffalo for some rehab and just like get him to go figure it out.
Yeah. But he's got can't throw fastballitis. Whereas the only thing that when he throws fastball, it hurts.
And I guess that Bassett is in the same boat because you also can't trade him and you just got him and he's had one start for the team. But I guess that's my biggest issue right now. Because, like, as we said with Manoah, like, it's one game. They could bounce back. Although with Barrios, there's quite a portfolio of not great over the last 12 months. But, yeah, I just don't know if he continues to be what he's sort of become, I guess. It's not even... last year was like, if he continues to be what's going on, like now it seems to be, this is, might be who he is.
Yeah.
I just don't know what they do.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I can see that as a bigger concern because first of all, we personally as fans of this team have seen more of Barrios, and I mean, they both have, if you eliminate this year, they have like a lengthy track record of many years in the mid threes. My concern with the Bassett thing was like, It seems a lot more unremarkable than Barrios, where Barrios is like, the sweeper is still very good, and everything with the fastball seems to be pretty fine. Bassett, sort of like, the sinker is going to have to be there, and he's not throwing it very hard. And I don't see, like, for me, the whole, like, you can never tell what he's going to throw thing sometimes only gets you so far before they're like, we don't care what you're throwing because we can hit all of it. So it goes. But listen, he has got a reputation. He has several years where his sinker was very good and is able to play off it and is throwing a lot of stuff. I just, you know, it was one start. We're not advocating here that they need to trade both of these guys. It's more of a like, you wasn't the best first impression I've ever seen in my entire life. And again, they haven't had the chance to do a second start to make up for it. But still, yikes. Blech.
At least Yusei Kikuchi is around.
Is he ever around? Yusei Kikuchi, 5 innings, 3 hits, just the 1 home run and an absolute tank.
Touching to a guy who 97, hit, though.
Throwing 97 as a lefty, 97.6. Like, the radar gun's reading it as 98. Listen, I was really impressed because in the 5th inning of that start, he did get into some trouble. He had two on. He got absolutely robbed on a call that ended up being a walk. Should have been a called strike 3 that made it 3-2, and then he overthrew the 4th one, and Jano immediately went out and was like, hey, you have this. But I love the bounce back there. He had 2 strikeouts in that inning. Like, that to me was a bigger sign even than the 4 innings before it. I see that 5th mm-hmm. inning, and I see this is where it goes wrong right there. They had the guy going up early. They were like, we might have to go to Jimmy in the 5th year. And I didn't mind the call from Schneider to let him sort of have his 5, feel good, throw, I think, 65, 67 pitches, and get out of there. It was needed. Like, we joked around, you know, he joked around, like, don't worry about the Bassett-Berrios part. Kikuchi's going to clean this up. And he absolutely did. Like, arguably better than anybody else in the rotation first time through. Of course, bad luck, Gausman, in the first time through. But yeah, it was reassuring because, like you said, I mean, touching 97, it helps. You throw 97. The harder you throw, the more room for error you have, right, in that way. So I'm rooting for Yusei Kikuchi.
How can you not, man? Like, you can even,
yeah.
Not to get, like, you know, radio show cliche on it, but, like, you can see him, like, I don't want to say trying hard, but,
no,
like,
yeah.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, he was fired up when he was throwing well. And I think after a year like he had last year, you know, it's good to see both from a you want your guys to succeed perspective and also good to see from just like a personal, like, good for him kind of perspective. And, you know, if he can keep it up, it's massive going forward for this team. Like, if he's pretty much exactly what he was in his first start and nothing more, that's huge. Like, he was great, and he was, you know, as I said, touching 98. He was painting the corners. He was throwing well. He was locating his pitches. He was playing some defense. He looked great, and I think it's, you know, we'll see what it's like when he gets stretched out maybe a little more than 65 pitches, but I think it could be a huge, huge development for the potential success of this team.
And I think that start also does show you a little bit, again, harp on it back from the beginning of the show, but, like, the outfield defense also saved him a run and a couple hits in that one. And that's, like, that's, you want the sort of the evidence of what that's all supposed to do. That was it, where it was like pitcher's sort of on the ropes and needs to steal one, and they go out and Varsho lines it up and guns a guy down. That is sort of like picture perfect explanation of how they change their fortunes with that defense and with that base running and with the small things. Really good to see, and sort of a really good feel good win after losing 3 straight somehow to the Cardinals and the Royals there in the Midwest. Boy, now it's time for 3 against the Angels in Anaheim. The first late series. Man, oh man, 9:38 start on Friday.
That was actually, speaking of going to Anaheim already, a point I was going to bring up before where you brought up the fact that they played a good team and played a bad team.
Yes.
And with that is, I feel like that's always going to be a narrative, no matter what, if you lose to a 3 to a good team, then beat a bad team. But with the new schedule this year, if they can just beat up on the bad teams, they will be in very good shape come September.
For sure. Yeah, now 3 on the road against, we'll see if they're good or bad this year. Who knows? They're 4-2 right now. 9:38 start on Friday, 9:07 start on Saturday, and 4:07 on Sunday. Boy, I haven't had to face a 9:38 start in a hot minute in my current state of life. We'll see. I was yawning.
At least it's on a weekend.
Yeah, and a long weekend too. So I'll probably catch some of it. That should be interesting. And then the Blue Jays had a day off on Monday, and they return home to open up the new look Rogers Center against the Detroit Tigers. We got a sneak preview of what that will look like, thanks to all the reporters that are in town, all the social media people, and everybody but us that got invited. We'll talk about that on the other side. Jake, I'm not jealous. I'm not jealous about everyone else. I'm used to it. I'm used to like not being a part of the show, right? I get it, Jake. You know, my plight is I get to influence everything that people use and not be invited to the show, but that's fine. it's such ridiculous. No, it was cool. We got a look at an official unveiling of some of the outfield sections. We got to see the bullpens. We got to see a bunch of the new food options, some of the new drink options, the outfield bars, the Corona patio space, the park area. What did you think? What was your first impressions as the afternoon morning rollout of the new content sort of hit the timeline today?
I mean, some of it was like, I don't know, you redesigned the flight deck, like, sick, great. It didn't really move the needle for me.
This is a zag. You're zagging. Not impressed with the.
I'm impressed with the more crowd field areas. Mm-hmm. I think the bleachers are a great but possibly terrible idea. I think, you know, let's face it, the Jays have a pretty dirtbag fan base.
Certainly.
Possibly proudly so in some respects. So putting the bullpens right there, we'll see how that goes. Especially in a GA bleacher section. A little concerned about the heat of those bleachers in July. Not exactly sure if they've covered them at all. But also I won't sit there if it's hot.
Yeah, I don't expect no offense, you don't give off bleacher creature to me.
No. I mean, I think it's one of the things I think I would go and check out, kind of thing. But I wasn't really a flight deck guy either. I don't want to stand for a whole game. That's insane.
No doubt. I agree with that.
But I do think that the 500 decks look really cool. The Rays bullpens obviously look fantastic. The new wall dimensions, I think, are really interesting. I'm really curious to see how that's going to play. So I think the park itself looks great, but it's going to take me a lot to care that like the concessions look nice. Like, I guess it's better than they do than they don't, I guess. But like, I don't know. I don't care. Oppo Taco is a great taco stand name though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy at least, they're trying to make it feel like a baseball stadium. I do like that. With all the naming and all the, like, very clearly the intent is to give you a view of the game while you're doing other stuff. As a family, I'll tell you this, as a family man, I do sort of also appreciate that it looks like there is, you know, better spaces to go and bring a kid that's not going to want to sit in the bleachers the whole time. You know, stuff for them to do and games for them to play and just sort of a nice nod. I saw it. Mentioned in the timeline, they don't know who said it, but just like, it's good that parks are sort of understanding that the clientele at a baseball game is one of two sort of things. Is there people there that want to go and have a good time at the game and really invested, and there are families that are looking for places to sit. And that's sort of like, that is really the two main clientels of baseball stadiums, and I thought they did a good job of catering to that. I'm with you in that, like, the poutine dog and the different specialty drinks and I really don't care. I know we're supposed to care. It's supposed to be like, would you eat a poutine dog? And we fucking supposed to like rank your favorite. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna get a regular hot dog. Like, luck, maybe. Outside.
Like, are you exactly taking hot dog carts outside? No, then I'm not gonna change my food there.
And I'm going to probably bring in snacks because I'm that kind of person. And I understand that that's not for me and that there's people getting a frozen marg or getting, I don't know, green apple popcorn. All that stuff is appealing. And not everything has to be for me, the hardcore baseball guy. But I thought a nice first step. I'm with you that I think for me, the big win, the thing that I see as the really big win is the 500 decks, because the spaces beside the Jumbotron were two spaces that, save for the playoffs and save for the complete insanity that was August and September in 2015, nobody ever sits there. Ever. Why would you, right? It's the worst possible view. You don't get the Jumbotron. Turning that into like an area where you can listen, get served an overpriced drink, frankly. Like, it's cool. It's fine. You go to other ballparks, there are those places. You watch any other stadium on TV. The outfield is where people get to mill around and have a casual eye on the game and go there and have a good time. And I think they've done a pretty good job of capturing that and a pretty good job of adding baseball stadium. I think that was the big hammer home for me. I was like, yeah, baseball stadium. It's the Blue Jays' home. It's not in a multi-event convention center that happens to have a baseball field stamped into it. I'm excited for the Rays bullpens. I will say I do totally get your point about like people being right beside the pitchers, but it's not like it was hard to throw a beer in the bullpen before.
No, of course not. And like, I don't really think it's going to make any difference, but it is pretty funny to think about.
There's a good chance somebody gets verbally accosted. I won't doubt that.
Yeah.
Like if I was a pitcher, right, and you asked me which would I rather warm up in.
It's harder for the pitchers to ignore, yeah. I think, than the fans to be shitty.
If you ask me which one I'd rather warm up in, I'd rather warm up in the one where I'm 10 feet below and can like zone in versus like I would assume it's the verbal, like people will just be standing there telling relievers they're about to go blow it, which is what I would do, to be frank with you.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you don't see yourself as a flight deck guy or a bleachers guy. But you are a fairly regular 500 visitor, if I remember correctly, from your...
Yeah, I'm going next weekend.
Look at that.
500s.
So do you expect to mosey on over to the Corona Park Bar or whatever it is and check out these stands?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I'll actually like
take a boo?
Watch any of the game there, but I feel like they'll... Unless it's a... it's the Rays, so I'm sure at some point I'll get pissed off and need to stand up.
Holy, so, tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll go check out the new accoutrement around the park, because why not? I feel like a lot of that stuff also, if you're a person who goes to multiple games a year, obviously this is very different people who can only get in for one game a year. Mm-hmm. If you go to multiple games a year, I feel like a lot of that stuff is like, you go, you see it, and you're like, okay, I saw it. It's a bar. And then you're back in your seat. For me personally, I feel like that's how it's going to go.
There's a chance you see somebody eating something and you're like, I got to have that. There's a chance.
Maybe. I really don't like paying stadium prices for food.
Let me ask you this. Was there any food or drink that you saw today that you were like, you know what? I think that's for me.
No, but I'm sure on a really hot day, one of those margs would be good.
We're no fun, eh? You and me?
No, we're not. I mean, we're not fun. We're not those guys. We're not going to go to a Jays game and be like, I'd like a cocktail, please.
I'm begging you to be interested in some of it.
I'd like a French 76 to watch the Blue Jays. It's not the Polo Grounds.
Old men. Catch Bar looks pretty cool, too. That's the one that's right above the bullpen. And there's Rogers Landing, which I think is above that. This is like the right field.
Oh, is that the corporate one that's like $200 a ticket?
I think it might be.
Yeah, one of them is. I think that's that one. Because, you know, nothing says a nice $200 ticket like the right field corner at Skydome.
There's a smoked meat panini. Let's see a bunch of stuff. All the different flavored popcorns.
I will say, and like, I don't mean to keep like complaining about Skydome prices, because we all know it's really, like, there's no new point made here. However, the one food item I was excited to be brought to the park, because it's one of my favorite food items and a very Toronto food item, which Skydome needs more of. Like, the poutine dog is like faux, like Canada stuff. That's dumb. But like a real Toronto thing is Jamaican patties, mm-hmm. which we all love. They're $6 at Skydome.
That's life.
I know. And like, I get it. I know that's not different than paying $14 for a Budweiser. Like, I know that's just how it goes, but I just didn't like that fact. And I'm going to complain about it and still probably get one. Although you could probably just get a better one on the way to the park.
Right. I would assume that too. Listen, I tried my best here to get us rallied into guys who were excited about the concessions.
Maybe this really is why they didn't invite us to come check it out.
Seems like it, doesn't it? That seems like if we went, we would be here and we'd be like, oh my God, there was a peanut butter and jelly churro and you gotta have it. And there was a banh mi sandwich, which to me is sort of the perfect representation of Koreatown. And then Jamaican patty. There's one that's, you know, themed like the Subway, which I think is cool. If you ever wanted to feel like unsafe in the park, that's where you would go.
Homeless people aren't allowed there either. The police are here.
We tried. I'm gonna get a large beer and a hot dog, and then
yeah, that's exactly
open the bag of chips that I brought.
Although now that I'm talking about it out loud, I do like the idea of buying Jamaican patties like for $2 each and then bringing them to the park. I might do that as well.
But I mean, that's inflation, right? It's sort of
that's true.
Way she goes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. I was sort of impressed with some of the stuff, like being, you go to the Corona Bar and it's really cool now to sort of look at that and see that the top of the Corona Bar, is the windows of the Sky Dome hotel, where it's like, yes. Wow, they really did get all the way up there and like turn that from, I can't believe people sit up here to watch the game, to like, here's a place people are going to want to go. I think that's pretty cool. And
I agree. I think I would say that it's obviously better than it was.
For sure.
Without question. I think my biggest issue is that a lot of it feels like, okay, so this is not a perfect comparison, but the best way I can think about it is the Elma Combo, legendary Toronto rock club, closed forever, recently reopened because some like millionaire guy bought it and renovated it. It's one of the worst venues I've ever been to in my life, the new one. It's awful. You can barely see the stage. There's just like shit everywhere. Like, it's terrible. But it very much looks like a rock club that a multimillionaire would think looks cool, if right. That makes sense.
It's an Instagram venue.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of how I feel about a lot of the Sky Dome stuff. Not the park, it's not like the baseball stuff, but like the outside stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I do wish it was more of a 50-50 split of that stuff and like Toronto stuff. And it feels like it's more 90-10. Like, it's like the Poutine Dog, I think, is the best representation of it, where it's just like, yeah, it's sort of vaguely Canada, Toronto-ish, poutine sort of a thing, and baseball, hot dog. But like, does anyone asking for that? Like, I would want just more local Toronto stuff in there. But instead we got pinball machines, which I guess is fun.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, this is just, I would say, be prepared to continue losing that battle for the rest of your life.
No question. I'm not. I don't think we're going to get cool stuff in any arena, like cool local stuff. But like, other cities have found ways to bring more of that in, is my point. And yeah, even though the new Sky Dome stuff looks nice, I wish there was a little more character to it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we'll make our official judgments on when we get to walk around, because that was not today, because we were not invited. and who could possibly guess why? I mean, it's hard to believe. two sunny personalities.
I will say, I didn't expect to be so not into any of this, but
listen, you know, no one. Yeah, you're supposed to be positive. You're supposed to be positive about everything. Nah. I didn't mean to be so grumpy.
No, I'll get grumpy. No one's coming to us and be like, oh, the corporate stuff's great.
Well, I don't think anyone was coming to us for the opposite either. I don't think anyone was coming to us and be like, hope they hate it. I don't think that was...
We don't hate it. It's just like, no. Whatever.
It gets a thumbs up from me overall. Stadium. It would be silly to not give it a thumbs up.
I think it will be a better in-your-seat experience than it was before, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and people, listen, again, like, for lack of a better word, they already have our money, right? They already have the people that want to watch a baseball team's money. They were coming in. Clearly, the stadium could be the worst it could possibly be, and we will go there. They could have a team that they don't spend money on that doesn't win games in the worst stadium in the league, and we went. So
Yeah, that's
they don't true. Care about us. It's the people that do want to go and have a good time and see some cool stuff and have some cool pictures and have it be a fun memory no matter what happens.
And I do think, to your point, like, I think a lot of that stuff for younger people who haven't had the light in their eyes beaten out of them over many years like we have, will have lots of stuff in there to enjoy.
Yeah. I'm sure my son will like it. I'm sure my nephews will like it. So hard to complain about that as much as we did find a way. Okay. We're going to open up the mailbag and for the Patreon folks, we're going to get off topic here after this. Okay, Jake, it is mailbag time. You put out the question earlier today, and you've been on fire on the Twitter account. You got another big banger, right?
Yeah, you always know when a tweet is successful when people who don't understand humor start replying.
People get
just like, there's a whole world of Twitter that has never heard of jokes before.
Yeah, every so often you'll just crank out like a 200 like tweet on that account. It blows my mind.
It'd be great if any of those likes are listening. Patreon.com/less
Pay for the tweets. We get into the mailbag. Okay. James Nielsen asks us, with the new bleacher seats and fan access to the visiting bullpen, how many games will it take before an incident happens? Depends what you define incident by. I can see somebody I can see somebody getting thrown out of the building the first game.
I mean, that's just the home opener. Just a natural, correct, natural attractant for scumbags at the home opener.
But like thrown out of the building in that section. You know what I mean? Like somebody getting thrown out of the building from the bleachers.
I definitely think there will be at least a like talking to warning in the first game. No question.
Because this happens every once a day or so. I will have a statement in my head and I say, I can't believe this is who I am now. But as a father, I sort of don't want anything goes, you can say whatever you want, happening out loud if I'm at a game with my son, you know?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So I would guess, like, if an incident counts as somebody getting thrown out of the game for something they say and do in that section, I'm going to say game one. I have some faith that nothing's going to get thrown over there.
I don't think anything like Skydome bad, so to speak. if that's going to happen, it won't be till, like, September.
Yeah. Tough. It's a tough one. I want to have faith, but then I think back to like every playoff game that they've had, and I'm like, yeah, there's not a lot of reason to have faith, is there?
Yeah. But again, that stuff doesn't really happen until the games matter. So I think there'll be a grace period.
Yeah, you have to respectfully get the Leafs off the television to get shouldn't have. Anyway. John D. McDonald says, should I get a white or a powder blue Kikuchi jersey? I think Kikuchi himself prefers the powder blue.
Yes, and I always think the powder blue is the right call. I have a powder blue Ryu jersey that I like very much.
That's a tough one.
Immediately. Just like, oh, I got a Ryu jersey. They didn't make the playoffs. Oh, I got a Ryu jersey. He's out for the year.
He's never going to pitch for them again.
But the powder blue is a great look. And Kikuchi does prefer them, it seems, so I go with that.
Spencer asks, if Berríos and Bassett continue their current trends, is the season worth continuing? You got to appreciate there's a sect of Blue Jays Twitter that is just like makes it a mission to not be happy, right? It's sort of like,
of course, yeah. Miserable. And they come to us for that.
I get it, because I understand that if you look at my tweets, for example, I come alive when things are going poorly, right? You're just sort of like, I can't help it. I don't have, it's the Nathan Lucas thing. I don't have a lot to say when things are going wrong other than like, yay. Because like, I guess I had one with like, it was great that Kiermaier went first to third. But when things are going well, it's like, I just sort of like quietly enjoy it. And then when something specifically goes wrong, it's fun for me to make fun of. But I don't go out of my way to find things to upset myself. I will say this was 11 a.m. this morning, so it was before the game happened today, and I think today's game was sort of like, oh, yeah, all these guys are really good. You know, they have Ricky T. If we want to answer this, if you want to answer this honestly, they have Ricky T. They have maybe Hyunjin Ryu. Like, you could plug in two more guys in this rotation. It would be very hard to bury the guys that they have signed for a combined, I think, 8 years and, like, $150 million combined. If Rios and Bassett are both bad, it is not good. I will readily admit that. Big time trouble.
Again, as we were saying off the top, like, the issue is if they're both bad, neither of them have...
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah, you can't put you're not putting either of those guys in the pen. You're not sending them to Buffalo. You're not trading them. So, you know, you need one of them. You need one of them to be good. So then at least you can make the argument come August, if Ryu is back, if there's a trade for another starter, you can make the argument, well, he lost his spot, which is fair. But
yes,
at the moment, oof, I don't know.
They did manage to win 92 games last year with Rios not being very good and with Kikuchi being really bad.
Yes, they did.
I keep that in mind, right? They had two pitchers with ERAs above 5.2 last year that made a combined 64 appearances, and they managed to win 92 games.
Yes.
Double M, Mike Mack. Are you guys worried about Chris Bassett? I am worried about Chris Bassett, only because I only have... Listen, I said this before. Like, when you pitch for Oakland, and you may as well not exist to me. Right? You pitch for Oakland for 7 seasons, that's 0 games played, in my opinion. Frankly, you're in Oakland in the late teens and the early 20s, and you pitch really well. That's good for you. And then you're pitching in the National League. Still not really buying it. Listen, there's reason to believe that the pitch options and all the things he does well will show back up, and everybody you talk to that wants to calm you down says he's a notorious slow starter guy. I look at it and I just sort of see a guy that doesn't throw very hard and is 34 years old, and other than the stinker, doesn't have anything that is like particularly great, and everything he threw got smashed. Like, he throws 8 pitches and 6 of them got fucking crushed, so I don't know what to... It just looked really unremarkable to me as a guy who was hitting 92 on the radar gun and like threw 4 fastballs and 2 of them got hit and one of them was a home run. I was like, I don't know, not good.
Yeah, I'm going to maybe contradict myself here, which I never do.
Couldn't be.
But I'm not worried about Chris Bassett.
That's good.
But I really need him to be good tomorrow.
Yeah. So last one. Last one comes from Andrew Robertson, who usually has good questions. He says, "Has Varsho done the impossible and made bunting cool again?"
No, but that was sick.
Well, to which I would say, bunting for a hit was never not cool.
That's, you know what? You're absolutely correct.
Bunting in an attempt to get yourself on first base has always been cool. It's the bunting to intentionally be out that has never been that I've never enjoyed. A good drag bunt, a strategic drag bunt where you are racing down the first baseline, making other teams make plays, trying to force bad throws from pitchers, trying to make chaos, that is extremely my shit. I would never as anti-bunt as some people, but listen, man, as I said off the top, Dalton Varsho is my created player running around on the field. I don't know how else to say it. Like, that's... What I do when I play video games is I make Dalton Varsho and put my name on his thing. Like, that's it. Just is. Like, I love him. I'm happy to watch him play every day. I think a real one, when we talked about this in the pro con and the best case worst case, was like, I'd hope that he made a good first impression, because it's not a town that does well with patience for a new guy. And he 8 strikeouts already, and you're like, oh man, he hasn't... If he didn't have the other stuff, you'd be like, I don't know if they're gonna take to this guy. I think he's going to be a fan favorite because of stuff like the drag bunting, because of stuff like the aggressive base running, because of stuff like the outfield defense, and then the home runs is like icing on the cake. Into it, I think Dalton Varsho is gonna move some jerseys in the 905, baby. There you go. That's the mailbag. That was tons of fun. If you have a mailbag question, you can always send it to at lessthanjays on Twitter, lessthanjays@gmail.com. That is where you will find us so we can answer your questions. We're going to quickly wrap up the reverse mailbag after this and then send you off to the weekend series. It is reverse mailbag time. Jake, do you remember what you asked last week?
I think I said World Series picks.
You did say World Series picks. We got a message from Christine Baldwin on the Patreon over at patreon.com/lessthanjays. I am picking my World Series based on what would give you the most fun to watch. So I am going Jays versus Padres. Give it to me. I am ready to have my heart broken again. That's like the fun World Series pick this year. Yeah, is Jays Padres. Which I think is what the other answer. Man, people were mad at you for that tweet. Holy.
Yeah.
You did it again. You did it again.
Again, it's a good tweet when the people who've never heard of jokes are replying to it.
Some people are responding that, hey, that's gonna get really hot. I think it's fair game to go there and just like whisper that you're gonna have a terrible appearance. I think we have another reverse mailbag somewhere in here, but I've scrolled so far. I've scrolled so far. There's so many mentions because of the notifications for how many. I should just go straight up mentions and not notifications. Just a second. Holy. You crushed it. Outfield District. People love it. Reverse mailbag. I think the other one is also Blue Jays against Padres. Yes, Robbie. For reverse mailbag, I'm going long-haul flight pairing Blue Jays and Padres. No questions asked. That's your pick. People like Blue Jays, Padres. What do you think for your World Series pick?
I mean, I don't want to just say Blue Jays, Padres. But that is the most fun. I think there's also, for me personally, I really don't like the Atlanta Braves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be fun to beat them. And I also really don't like the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I think it would be fun to have the Jays play the Dodgers. However, with both the Dodgers and the Braves, then we get into that monkey's paw situation of what if they lose? And then sure. It's like, oh, you lost to a team. Like, if you lose to the Padres, obviously if the Jays lose a World Series, I'm going to be devastated no matter what.
News for you. What if they lose?
It's going to be terrible. But at least in retrospect, I can kind of look back and be like, the Padres are fun. Losing to the Dodgers, though, I'd be mad for a long time.
So you said my pick because I think for the drama, Blue Jays against Braves is the A-plus matchup here. You get 8 years later, you get Alex Anthopoulos strolling back into the building.
Yeah.
And you get to say, see, Alex, we know how to build a team. You say, see, Alex, you were wrong. You were right. And he goes, I was wrong. You were right. Look what I've done over here. Well, I have exactly what you're trying to do. I've done it. We've won the World Series. I signed the young guys for the big contracts. I developed the pitching. I didn't need to sign free agent pitchers. On and on. I think the storyline doesn't get better than... And you also have 92 World Series, like, rebattling. I think that's great.
It's certainly the best matchup for all of the most annoying baseball fans in the world.
Can't wait. That and my side one is 30 years later, Jays Phillies again.
Don't like the Phillies. That'd be fine for me too.
Do you like? Is there a team you like other than San Diego?
I like the Twins.
Well, it's like a nationally team.
I've been thinking it's the Mets. I think they're fun and hapless, like in a similar way we are.
Mm-hmm.
I like
and that should have been the 2015 World Series.
It should have been, yes. I like the Brewers. I like the Rockies for no reason. I don't.
Right, like you like teams that there's no chance they could play in the World Series.
Well, yeah, I like teams I have no negative feelings towards. Of course,
sad. Like I don't mind the Pirates. I don't mind like the sad.
I don't mind the Pirates. I have a Pirates hat.
What kind of psycho likes the Byron? Sadists. Holy
Russell
shit.
Martin.
True.
Come on.
True. Okay. Well, good answers there. And good for us for not mentioning how terrible Brandon Belt has looked. The only guy on the team that's just like, woof.
12 strikeouts in 18 at-bats. Not great.
Slow starter, veteran guy. Needs to get warmed up. Or maybe he's cooked. We'll find out. This week's reverse mailbag, we're going to keep it simple. We're gonna again, continue with theming off the second half of the episode. Tell us what you thought of the renovations. What part of the renovations are you actually excited to go see? And where will you be going first if you are in the stadium this year? What impressed you most about the renovation reveal from all your favorites that were there at the stadium today? Not us, of course. We're not invited. That is it for another week of Less Than Jays. You know, as always, you can get extra content, patreon.com/lessthanjays. Had a WrestleMania review up there with my buddy Josh from Wrestling Rain. We reviewed WrestleMania. We talked about UFC and WWE combining forces into one company. All of that, an hour and 20 minutes available up on the Patreon. And I was going to guess we're going to do a UFC 287 preview, which is the Saturday, Izzy against Alex Pereira. 4 or 2, depending on how you score it. That's going to be up this weekend as well. Very exciting, very cool. Looking forward to that. And we're going to have some extra stuff throughout the season. I'm trying to remember, Jake, I was trying to get an idea, like a catchphrase or like a way to denote. You know how there's during the season, there's games that stand out as more than just one game?
Sorry, say that again.
You know how there's like those games during the season that they sort of like feel bigger than just one win or loss?
Yes, of course.
I wanted to call them like, I don't know what you call those, like mark it down games. I want to keep track and see if we can get people to let us know when they think the Jays are playing a mark it down game.
Okay, I like that.
And sort of try to review those. The home opener last year was a mark it down game. Sort of like when we look back at the end of the season, we did this a lot last year. We look back at the end of the season and we were able to recall 5 to 10 games during the season that were like, remember that game? There was the absolute blowout of the Red Sox, and there were some games that they lost early on because of bullpen management. I want to try to track the mark 'em down games this year. Would you say they've played a second mark it down game after the home opener?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they have either. But if you think they're playing a mark it down game, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter and let us know they're playing a mark it down game. That is it for the show for another week. Thank you so much for being a part. As always, I'm Less Than Jays.